Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Dee Boggetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Greetings, Bark Radio listeners. We have an author with us today, don't we, Terry?
We do. We have Anthony Majowski.
Hey, Anthony, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
We're fabulous. How's Max? That's way really what's important here. And tell folks who Max is. I know I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but tell us who Max is.
Well, Max is an award-winning children's book author. And surprisingly, he's also a dog, a 7-year-old English Labrador.
Aha. Now, did you help Max write his book? Did you ghostwrite, maybe?
I did do some ghostwriting for Max. I mean, during the day, Max is a pretty quiet dog, like most dogs are. But unfortunately, he's all paw, so he's not able to type on the computer. So he kind of, you know, when it comes to creating his stories and, you know, doing his social media, he tends to sit by my desk and encourage me of what exactly to type for him.
Well, he's a fabulously brilliant dog. You know, he gets his treats and he gets to go on trips and stuff, and Dad does all the work. Yay!
And he gets rewarded with a lot of treats. Believe me, he's got a very unique and plush life, let me tell you.
Well, good for him, man. Well, okay, so now you have to tell folks, what's the name of Max's book, and what is it about?
Well, that's a terrific question. Max actually is a series of books that is called Read with Max. Max started his first children's book with a title called Dogs Move To, from Max's point of view. The stories are told from Max's perspective and deal with similar events that are in children's lives. And in Dogs Move To, it actually talks about Max's father losing his job and him finding out that he has to move to another state. And it went through the different emotions and anxieties that not only a children would feel, but also a dog, because they have to go through the moving experience just like a child would, as well as an adult. And so in the book, we discuss, you know, his travels as he first finds out, and then the outcome of the book is if dogs can move, you can move too.
Very cool. I really like that. It's a great message for kids, and it's great coming from a dog.
Well, that's exactly the reason behind the book. I happened to move around the country due to my father's occupation. I was in 11 schools in 11 years in 4 different universities, and I can tell you, I had a lot of challenges growing up, you know, and having those, I call it at that time, dreadful words, hey, we're going to move to another, you know, location.
Oh, goody.
Yeah, I was like, oh, wow, great, more excitement, right? And, you know, when I didn't have any tools, or the teachers didn't have the tools to be able to help, or my parents for that matter, to help transition the initial, I would call it, you know, mention of moving. And, you know, Max and I, you know, we've moved a couple times ourselves, but why not have a book that children could actually pick up and read and get involved and kind of have an open conversation with parents? I mean, there's other little lessons in there about making sure you wear your seatbelt when you're in your car and things like that. But, you know, it opens communication, because one of the biggest factors with children is they have a lot of anxieties, they have a lot of apprehensions. And, you know, if parents are able to get through those anxieties and apprehensions and create an understanding for that child, it's going to make it a lot easier transition and moving experience for them.
Well, what a great concept. I absolutely love it. And so this was the first, you said, of the series.
This is the first of the series, and let me kind of give you a little more about the book that a lot of people don't may not know. Max has decided, along with myself, that, you know, we believe in giving back to the community. And being that Max is obviously a dog, and you guys are a dog radio show, we wanted to mention that we actually are giving partners for Leader Dogs for the Blind. And a portion of all our books are donated back to that organization. And that helps defer some of the costs for bringing in their clients to be able to be teamed up with a leader dog. They have a brand new, what they call a GPS unit called the Captain Plus, that they give all their clients, as well as make available to those that are visually impaired or blind, that are able to navigate on the streets, so that they, you know, can be safe and get to places that normally they were not able to get to before. And being it's a non profit organization, 100% self-funded, we felt that out of the different charities that we could have participated with, that would be the most suited, being obviously because of the fact that Max is a dog, and I had some vision problems when I was growing up. It would be a great charity to donate part of our proceeds to.
That's very cool.
It's a great partnership. Yeah. And did you say, Anthony, that you there were different charities that you looked at and you decided this one was the one that you would like to partner with?
That's correct. Yeah, we decided to partner with that charity because, you know, there's a lot of great charities out there, and anybody that's listening, I encourage you to participate in any way you can, because with this economy, a lot of these charities are hurt with the economy, with donations. Like I said, one of the reasons we decided to participate is, one, I have visual impairments. I actually have cataracts in my eyes at a young age and have had glasses my entire life. I also had a grandmother that was legally blind, did not have a leader dog, but, you know, she had macular degeneration, and it wasn't until she was in her late 60s before she actually became legally blind to the point where she was unable to see anything. And watching the challenges and the struggles that she had to do just to, you know, put her clothes on, walk down the stairs, you know, sit at the table and lift the fork up to her mouth to make sure that, you know, it went properly in her mouth. It really gives you a whole different perspective on life in general. And those that, you know, are blind, you know, a lot of people don't realize it, but majority of them don't have an opportunity to work, and they rely on leader dogs to help them get from point A to point B in a very safe manner. And so that was kind of one of the reasons we decided that would be probably the most honorable charity that we could participate in, because we kind of had more self-experience with it.
Absolutely. Well, they're a great organization. They've been around for a long time, and they do incredible work. So, bravo. That's an awesome thing that you do, giving, you know, part of the proceeds to them. Great give back. And, folks, when we put this up on our website, we'll make sure that we also connect to Leader Dogs for the Blind, so folks can check them out.
Perfect. I appreciate that. Now, that kind of transitions into my next book that Max wrote.
Good job.
Yeah. Because of the partnership with Leader Dogs and the fact that there's a lot of puppy raisers out there that go into the schools and educate students about what Leader Dogs do, we created a book called Dogs Work Too, like the theme that's going on. And that book deals with the actual story behind Leader Dogs. And it's told from Max's perspective again. And in this journey or adventure that Max gets to go on, he's actually invited by one of the future puppies called Coco. And she actually takes him on a tour of the Leader Dog facility in Rochester, Michigan, and explains exactly what a leader dog would have to go through before they're actually teamed up with their owner and live a happy life after with a normal lifestyle. Now, one of the aspects of the book that a lot of people don't know, and I'm going to kind of give you a little secret, is that Leader Dogs for the Blind is the only institution in the country that actually teaches their dog to learn sign language. So
Dogs are multilingual.
They're multilingual, that's correct. So it's kind of interesting that they have an advanced training program that actually these future puppies go into, and they're actually teamed up with those that rely on sign language for communication, which is really interesting. Again, with this book, part of the proceeds is going back to Leader Dogs for the Blind.
And, Anthony, I have a quick question. About what age do they place their dogs with their handlers?
Well, they start off as puppies with volunteers that actually go right into training. For about 8 to 9 months, those puppies are trained with the volunteers. They have to report to a school, maybe once a month over to a leader dog school where they'll start getting their basic commands. After 9 months to 1 year, at that point, Leader Dogs invites that puppy to come into the formalized training. And it takes about 8 months of training before they are teamed up with an actual client. And then it takes about 29 days of training with the client as well as with the actual future puppy before they're actually graduated and given their harness.
Awesome, man. So probably heading on toward 2 years, they become operational service dogs.
That is correct. And they and their lifespan's about 8 years after that, before they're retired.
Okay. And are they typically Labrador Retrievers, or do they use other breeds as well?
They use various breeds, preferably breeds that have double fur.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is because they're in, they've placed clients in 39 different countries. And when you're dealing with dogs in different cultures and different countries, you have to worry about the dog's ability to survive harsh climates. So the typical breed that they use are the Labradors. They've also used German Shepherds. They've had Golden Retrievers. Those are the three primary categories. When they originally started in 1939, they started off with the Doberman Pinscher. And then
I've actually read about that, yes.
Right, but since they were a single-haired dog and shoulder, you know, shorter skin, less fat on their body, they actually, when they started getting into the more colder climates at that point, they transitioned into your typical Labrador Retriever, Golden Retriever mixes to be able to train and be placed.
That makes sense. I mean, I can see doing that.
Well, thanks for just that little bit about them. I think that's great information to share with folks.
I'm kind of curious, how did Max get started with this? What was his motivation to start writing books? I mean,
that's a terrific question. Well, one, Max has always, since he's a puppy, been engaged with children. If it's the neighbor, if it's, you know, driving in the car, he's always enjoyed children. And when Max and I were talking first about putting these books together, Max felt that children needed something that they could relate with, and what better than an animal? And he says, what better than him? And so he kind of felt that he could be a good role model and a good storyteller. And with, you know, there's thousands of children's books out there, but he felt that he could convey the stories in such a manner that it would be very inspirational to a child, not only to encourage reading, but also to talk about events in their life and encourage writing and a lot of learning. And so that's kind of what really started Max on his children's book back in 2009.
Look, he's very wise.
Yes.
Now, Max, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And now there's Max Music, right?
Yes, we are actually very excited. You are going to kind of have the first official announcement. Max has created his original music. Max partnered with a record company out of North Carolina called Center Sound Records. And he also works with Craig Brandwin, who is a Emmy-nominated composer-writer that actually helped create and write Max's original song, and actually it will be songs. And then we also were very fortunate through the relationship with Craig to get involved with the Rusty Bucket Kids television show that's going to be going hopefully nationwide here real soon. And we invited one of the child co-stars, John Coleman Demers, who also stars with his sister Roxana, to come into the studio and actually do our first song. And the song is titled Look at Me Now. And once again, I remind you, this is a 10-year-old child that's singing this song. And I think you'll be very pleased. Now, the song was inspired by the book Dogs Work Too, a story about leader dogs for the blind. And it talks about a puppy that grows up to become a leader dog.
Okay, this is just awesome. And you know, guys, you're hearing it here first. So what we'll do now is listen to a snippet from Look at Me Now, and then we'll be right back.
Yep.
When I grow up, I want to be the eyes for someone's world, a grandma or a grandpa, or some little boy or girl, before I can train. For the job that I must do, I need to learn the simple things, and that's why I have you. Teach me to sit, teach me to stay, show me the way to play. I'll give you my paw, umbrella, the door, and should be proud. I'm on the road to trying to lead the way. People will see.
That's a really cool song. I really like it. And I forgot the young man's name.
John Coleman Demers.
John. He does a great job with that.
He did a fabulous job with that. And that was actually his first time in a recording studio singing a song. And I think everybody was very impressed with his professionalism, his delivery of the song. You know, as a child, you want to convey the emotion that came with the song, especially because it tells a story. That's a true story. And if you're a puppy lover, you're a dog fan, if you're a volunteer raising puppies, or you know, a leader dog, or just a fan of music in general, this is a great song that you can add to your collection and listen to over and over again. It's very meaningful, and that's what he conveyed in this song. I'm very proud of what he did, and I'm proud to say that we invited him to participate, and glad that he is participating. Now, one of the things that John's actually going to do for the first time is there's a festival in North Carolina, the Festival of Eon, and he's going to be singing the song live with the Rusty Bucket Band, which is part of the children's show, at the festival. So I'm going to get an opportunity to hear it and see it live, which is going to be kind of really exciting. Actually, Max is going to get the opportunity as well.
Well, I was going to say, is Max going to be there singing with him, for heaven's sake?
Yeah, he'll bark up a tune or one or two, you know?
Absolutely. It was a fabulous song. Max is really making a name for himself, and I think he's helping kids.
Yeah.
And how great is that?
That's excellent. Anyway, and he's helping a good charity.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's the whole point behind Max is to help the children. I mean, with educational funding being cut in many districts across the country, you know, there has to be something unique for kids to be related and have fun. And I know when I was having fun growing up and learning, I wanted to participate more and more. And that's kind of what Max is trying to do, is get children to participate more and more.
Awesome.
Well, Anthony, tell our listeners how they can get the song and the books, because I think they're both available online.
Yes, they are. Now, Max has his own website. It's called readwithmax.com. As well as you can purchase Max's books and or music on Amazon.com. Now, if you're looking for just the music, it'll be on iTunes.com as well. And I do mention that part of the proceeds from the music as well will be donated. Actually, 50% of the proceeds from the music will be donated to Leader Dogs for the Blind.
That's excellent.
That's excellent. So encourage our listeners to get out there and start buying some music and some books.
Absolutely, and engage those kids. They're going to love Max.
Yeah. Well, Anthony, thanks for joining us today. Give Max a hug for us, and we hope to hear more from you in the future.
Well, Max said thank you very much. He said two paws up for your show, and I appreciate the time you spent with both Max and myself.
Thanks,
thank
guys.
You. Bye-bye.